We are talking about this difference between light and darkness. And there's all kinds of incredible things that, in 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, "And now we see through a glass darkly," the word for darkly there is the word where we, it sounds like enigma. It's where we get the word enigma. We see, but we don't see because it's an enigma. But most of the time when the word darkness is used, it's this word that means really twilight or... Remember how a feast, the starting of the feast, a feast is defined as the day starts when it's still light out, but you can see three stars. Everybody remember that?
Yeah.
It's
purple thread too.
Purple thread. And yeah. And you can no longer see the purple thread.
Unless you're under the awning and more anywhere
in the light. Yeah. But that place where it's the darkness has started, but you can just before you can see the three stars is the word for darkness. And so there's an infinite number of places where that word is used in the scriptures. And when we see it, then we can understand why men love the darkness more than the light. Because in that twilight area, that it's the same in a visual sense that lukewarm is in a feeling sense. I mean, it's like I swim every morning in the big people's pool. I'm still swimming in the kiddie pool. No, it's the physical therapy pool. And then when I get to a certain point, then they'll transfer me into the... But in the physical therapy pool, the water is lukewarm. It isn't that shock to your system that cold water is. And so this thing about the darkness and the light is the same idea from what in terms of what we see. Now, what... This twilight, or it's the comfortable place. I mean, in the same as lukewarm is the comfortable place, because you're not seeing the glaringness of the sun that removes all shadows and possibilities of comparison. So let's look at a few places where this word for darkness is really the word for twilight. It's in a bunch of places. Let's go to Matthew 4. And the point of what this is the predicate is that wisdom creates the place where you get out of the twilight. And you get out of this thing that's called darkness, and you get into light, and that comes from wisdom. And the wisdom is not the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom of God. And we've talked the last few days about what are the pillars of that wisdom. And if you yet please men, you're not a servant of God. The pillar of wisdom, that suffering is not strange, and that whatever is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. And so we have swum in this sea of lukewarm, or lived in the twilight our whole lives. And so the fear of God begins this wisdom, where you no longer see, you, and it's only in the light that you can see it's finished. Otherwise, you're swimming in the miasma of your mind, which is, it wants lukewarmness. Does this communicate? All right, Matthew 4. He's in verse 12. When Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness." Now, the people which sat in twilight is what it says. Now, this is huge, because we don't realize how much we love twilight. I mean, all of our senses love twilight. We love it now because it's sort of, but we don't like the brightness of the sun shining, because when the sun is fully risen, then there aren't, and especially at noon, then there are no shadows, and we can't hide in the shadows.
It says someplace in him there's no shadow of turning.
Right.
No darkness at all.
Everybody capture this a little bit? Kevin talked about it a little bit the other day, but okay. The people that sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Now, the same thing is in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he goes on and says, he leadeth us in the path of his righteousness. And yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and that shadow of death is the same thing, it's just twilight, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Okay? And let's go to Matthew 6. Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, or double, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be, the light that you think is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Because you can never see. You will always blame the things that you don't like on the evil one. And I mean, it's endless.
You know, you said something the other day I was thinking about. I guess it's what you're talking about now. You said you thought that the largest single idol among believers is doubt. And that's really what this is, isn't it?
Right.
It's halting between two opinions. It's gray.
All right, let's go to Matthew 6. All right, we just did that, didn't we?
I'm there.
Okay, Matthew 27. This one is interesting, I think. Not that the others weren't, but this one is. They're now mocking Christ, and he's on the cross. Verse 43, trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The darkness, again, the darkness that begins the last day starts when you can see the three stars. And that's the darkness, that's this twilight that was talking about here. Do you see the importance? So for 2,000 years, we've been living in this twilight of the last day. We've been living in this place of there's nothing but comparisons. And what?
Well, I'm putting this all together. It's like the ninth hour, it's darkness. And at that time, he cries out because he was in between the two places.
Right, and then when just before he died, he said, "Now, I don't know how to." Let's keep going. Let's go to Luke 1. This is Zechariah's prophecy. It's when, remember Zechariah was John the Baptist's father. He was a high in the priesthood. He was on the order of the altar of incense. And he doubted God. God struck him dumb. But then we've had the birth of John the Baptist. Verse 67, and his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath called up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember the holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. Now he's prophesying about his son, John the Baptist. Thou shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people, by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Now, the operative verse is to give light to them that sit in darkness. And again, the word, I won't go into the word, it's a word that I can't pronounce. To give the light to them that sit in the twilight. And if you think about us, I mean, that's what makes the test so incredibly subtle in this twilight. I've often said that I would long for this simplicity of if I said I believed in God or that Jesus was my life, then I was killed. But this the twilight of being in this position where if I in any way lean on my own arm of understanding, then I move back into the twilight. If I in any way give breath or consider my own senses, then I move back into the twilight. And so if it was black and white, bright, brilliant light and absolute darkness, then the test is very simple. It's either going to happen or not happen. But for us in this, as I believe that we are in this the subtlety of the test because it's the final cosmetic of the bride, and that therefore we can know and appreciate the reason for the subtlety of the test. Does everybody understand this? Do you understand how much you long for twilight, even after our? I mean, that most people's favorite part of the physical day is the twilight of morning and the twilight of evening.
This to me all comes together in what you said at the beginning about the tenets of wisdom.
Right.
Yeah, it's in the twilight if that's not understand while God is doing nothing apparently, then you doubt. Question, fall back.
Let's see some more twilight. John.
Is the idea that there's just enough light to increase your ability to come up with stuff?
Yeah.
Imaginations and stuff.
One time when I first moved over here, I was sitting out in the backyard and I was looking over at Gene's house or something and it was twilight and then I thought, there's a man up there on the roof. And so I was just real still for like 10 minutes. And it wasn't a man at all. It was just like part of the room.
Yeah.
Just looking at it.
Well, yeah, we start trusting in our senses.
Well, and it goes back and you know, walk in Isaiah. Walk in the light that you have kindled. Now, if you're in total and absolute darkness, then it's easy to understand that you're kindling the light. But if it's in twilight, but walk in the light that you have kindled, and this shall you have of mine hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. And so, how much of our day is spent walking in the light that we have kindled? And that it doesn't have to be positive. We do the same thing with negative stuff. We do anything to keep us believing that we have life, that we are somehow part of the equation. Is this as important to anybody else as it is to me?
Probably not.
Ephesians. No, I'm sorry. Go to John 1.
Since we're all in the New Testament, is this because the Greek word that has the twilight aspect of the darkness?
Word? Yeah. That's the one word I can't pronounce.
What did you say, John?
The Greek word that's darkness that's translated to darkness is this word. Opig, blah, 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 which means it just means shadiness or twilight.
So there's some other word that means like total darkness.
Yeah, yeah.
They happen to use this one.
Right, 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 right.
In
John 1. In him was life. Well, what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light shined in the twilight and the darkness, and they did not comprehend it. And then this then ties into the Zechariah's prophecy about John the Baptist, about who wrote this. There was a man from God, sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm sorry. And again, go just one page over, or two, John 3, 19. We looked at this the other day. Verse 19. This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Men loved twilight rather than light. And it goes on and on and on in Ephesians and Peter and 1 John and Corinthians. But what I... That's why it says, by the foolishness, by the preaching of the cross, men shall be saved. And the foolishness of the preaching of the cross is to cause people to see black or white, light or dark, not twilight. Because, you know, think of just on one issue. I want you to just think of one issue. We have been raised as from childhood to avoid conflict. And some of us, it's a basic program. And so there's always compromise. There's always silence. There's always, so that we are not confronted, so that we don't face, boom. We just let things slide and slide and slide and slide and slide until our life is made up of a series of contracts that you've made in with yourself in imagination with another person. And the contract is, I'm going to be silent about this so we can have the appearance of being together. And I mean, I doubt that any of us can even count the number of those that we've made.
Yes, you either do it through silence, or you do it by constant chatter about a bunch of stuff that doesn't have anything to do with anything.
I'm right.
It's like just backing away from the real stuff.
And so that is most of us, most of the human race's core program of conflict avoidance. And somehow in our society we've made that to be a righteous thing. Can you see that? And so there's something really big going on, but we just chatter so that we don't have to address it.
I'll agree with that.
Huh? Yeah. And then finally, the weight, because each one of those contracts that you've made, even if it's you made it with yourself and an imaginary other, each of those contracts has a debt. And so pretty soon the weight of that debt just becomes, it's overpowering.
So that's why mind talking with you is different than personal talking with you. You know, mind talking goes all kinds of ways, and you get beat up.
I mean, people that are mind talking with me in your mind? Is that what you're saying?
Other people who. If someone were to do that. But then.
Having a conversation.
Having a real conversation with you is completely different than that experience. I mean, and that's just an example. It's all across the board. If you don't don't, and that's why, you know, if you have all to get someone, you go to them, so you get something real happening, not an imaginary crap.
No, and again, the whole, this is critical, and this is why, at least for part of the body of Christ, there has to be this community, so that these issues have some place. You know, it's because, you know, you know, I sat in that funeral of my friend at the big Episcopal church, and I couldn't do it. I mean, I'd been to many funerals before that upset me, but I never said anything. But it got so bad that I couldn't keep quiet. I had to speak, and I totally messed up the funeral from the church's standpoint. But the family's standpoint, all of them came to me and were in tears, loving that there was honesty spoken. I don't like to make people mad at me. I don't like to have confrontations any more than anybody else. But I know that to not do it would, to not speak what's seen is death.
So you was at a funeral and they were saying stuff, you didn't like it, and you got up and you said something.
And all of the priests, they were the Episcopal Church. They all had these little dresses on, and they ran away.
I mean, were they saying something that wasn't?
No, my friend committed suicide, and they weren't going to. Because he committed suicide, they wouldn't bury him in the sanctified place. He had to be buried in another part of the cemetery that wasn't sanctified. And I just hit the ceiling. Well, I've done that too, but that's another story. No, when I was trying to go to church all the time, and people, because I had charismatic, I spoke in tongues the minute I believed, I went to charismatic churches. And every other minute, it seems like somebody was standing up saying, "Thus saith the Lord." And many times I stood and said, "No, he didn't. You're just speaking out of the vanity of your own mind."
See, that's what got you off to such a bad start. Going to those charismatic churches right off the bat.
But I didn't decide to be like, I tried to keep quiet, and I can't. I tried to be nice. I couldn't. I mean, I used to be as good at small talk as everybody else was. Okay, could go to cocktail parties and chatter and talk about meaningless bullshit and. But I had it because I had an agenda. It was there to pick up girls. But I can't abide small talk. I can't. It just makes me crazy. No, people don't invite me to parties. But that's it's. I'm not saying I'm right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm saying I can't help. I can't help it. I can't.
You can't do it.
I can't do anything about it. But it's. I promise you that this. Please, please, please. If you've learned anything from this, just get out of the idiotic twilight. Don't let that. The twilight is an illusion. The light is come. Amen.
Look, the light is sort of.
It's right on John. It's
flooding into the room.
Flooding into John.
John's neat.
Or maybe it's flooding into Skippy. Take a big guy.